Welcome to The Lob, your home of in-depth coverage and analysis by These Football Times, a movement of journalism you can trust. Each week, we endeavour to bring you the very best coverage of the game, exploring stories from the past and present with analysis by expert guests from around the world. Find more of our award-winning content online and in print. In the meantime, enjoy the podcast.
Welcome to part two of our 1970s FA Cup final odyssey. We are moving on to the one and only replay in the 1970s when it comes to FA Cup finals. This is the first one since, well, I think before the First World War, Dave. The FA Cup final replays are absolutely certainly unprecedented in the Wembley era, and we don't have a Wembley replay here. It's sent north to Manchester and Old Trafford, which was always slated, for many FA Cup's potential replays. No Wembley for the replay, Dave.
It's really strange that it was. I mean, firstly, that all that time since 1923, there'd never been a replay, which seems remarkable of itself, you know. And then, as you say, most of the cup final replays were always scheduled for somewhere away from Wembley. It was more, I suppose, supposedly a neutral ground. I don't know that Manchester's particularly neutral between Chelsea and Leeds, but the cup final was in London, so I suppose fair enough. It turns out to have been a good move because there's actually grass on Old Trafford where Wembley hadn't got any at all. So as it turns out, it's actually been a good move.
It is a good move. Grass is such an important part of a football match, especially cup finals. And yeah, that sand dune, flat sand dune, I think we could probably call the pitch of Wembley the 1970 FA Cup final. But here we are, the replay. Yeah, they've sent it to Manchester. It makes it a unique FA Cup final, certainly as far as the colour television era is concerned. You know, mention the replays there. You know, we need to go back and nod at the fact that it took three games for Leeds to get past their semi final, went up against Manchester United, two goalless draws and a 1-0. Eked out in the second replay at Burnham Park. The first two games haven't taken place in Sheffield and Birmingham. Leeds had also knocked out Swansea City, Sutton United, Mansfield Town and Swindon Town en route. Chelsea hadn't needed they needed one replay in the fourth round away at Burnley after a curless 2-2 draw at Stamford Bridge. But beyond that, Birmingham City in the third round, Crystal Palace in the fifth round. It was QPR in the quarterfinals and Watford in the White Hart Lane semi-final. The teams, Dave, it's pretty much as you were for Wembley, apart from Leeds United and their goalkeeper. David Harvey is in for Sprake, Dave, for Gary Sprake. Well, that's the thing, because you do look. I mean, I was under the misapprehension that Sprake had been dropped for many, many years until something was writing. You know, a tripped across, kind of like, oh no, he actually got injured in against Celtic. The team, well, I'll tell you what, we'll come to the teams in a minute. Let's go for, that little bit of an oddity in a way is that the two of them have had games to play between the Wembley final and the Old Trafford replay. I think the most interesting part of this, and we all get angry about the cup final not being the last game of the season. In contemporary terms, long-term contemporary terms in that respect. But, you know, it's not a particularly new thing. This has been going on for quite some time, Dave. Leeds United and Chelsea both had plentiful games to play. Leeds United played, three times between the final and the replay? The first of those being a European Cup semi-final second leg in Glasgow against Celtic. They then faced Manchester City at home and Ipswich Town away in their last two league games. Saturday the 18th of April is the last Saturday of the league season, 7 days after the FA Cup final. They've got that the wrong way round, Dave, surely.
It was unusual by then. I mean, as you say, in the past, it was quite a regular thing. I think it was the Matthews final, wasn't it, that changed things, because that was such a success that from there on they did want the FA Cup. Because the FA Cup used to be played on a normal Saturday, the penultimate Saturday of the season, and then the games that were postponed on the Saturday because of the cup final used to get played in midweek, and then the league finished the week after. But I think the Matthews final being such a glorious thing in all kinds of ways, had then said, no, this is when we finish it. The cup final's got to be the final game. And I think pretty much from there on it was. 1970 was a peculiar season because of the World Cup. Everything finished early because of the World Cup. So I'm guessing, you know, it was just an effort to sort of fit that in. And then, of course, there was the replay, and that scuppered absolutely everything because there were still, these are the days when games got postponed for bad weather, which very rarely happens now in the top flight. I mean, it takes blizzards and tornadoes and God knows what else to stop a Premier League game happening these days. But back then, of course, you know, in the winter, you did lose games. So there was one or two that were catching up with fixtures. Then, as you say, the final Saturday. And then we've had virtually 3 weeks, haven't we, between the first final and the second one. Almost as long as between us putting the two podcasts in. So
it's very apt, Dave. It's very, very apt in that respect. And Chelsea had a couple of games themselves in between the final and the replay. They play league games. Turf Moor against Burnley, where they lose 3-1. And then on that last Saturday, the 18th of the league season, they are 2-1 winners at home to Liverpool. Interesting to have a look at the composition of the teams being played in some of these games, Dave. Chelsea don't... I mean, against Burnley, they make three changes from the team that's played the cup final. What, 4 days earlier? Tommy Hughes comes in goal. John Boyle and Alan Birchenall all get a game. This is the last time Alan Birchenall will play for Chelsea. Three changes. You know, the three most, I don't know, wounded players from the game at Wembley opted out of that one. But against Liverpool, they do play their entire cup final side. They pull no, for want of a better phrase, for the most violent FA Cup final in history, they pull no punches in the league game against Liverpool in terms of the lineup that they select, that Dave Saxon fields. But Leeds are a different kettle of fish entirely. Same cup final lineup for the game against Celtic. Gary Sprake gets injured early in the second half. On comes David Harvey, and he's in. You know, there's no coming back from injury for Sprake to make it to the final replay. They lose to Manchester City 3-1 at Elland Road. They lose at Portman Road 3-2 against Ipswich. So the three games that Leeds play between the two finals of the 1970 FA Cup final are three defeats, Dave. Manchester City, Harvey, you know, obviously plays, but they also bring in Nigel Davey, John Faulkner, Rob Belfitt, Mick Bates comes in from number 12, Terry Hibbert, and substitute Paul Peterson plays. And then against Ipswich, again, it's Harvey, Davey, Peterson gets the start, Terry Yorough, David Kelly, Chris Galvin, Belfitt again, Bates again, Hibbert again. The unused substitute is Sean O'Neill. Don Revie opts for a swathe of changes. One or two of his first choice players do get a game here and there, but no one player who plays in the cup finals plays both of those games. And in some instances, no one plays at all that plays in the cup final that plays in those two league games. There's no Paul Madeley. There's no Norman Hunter, Jack Charlton. There's swathes and swathes of changes. Disruptive for Leeds in that respect, in trying to keep some kind of momentum when you've got some players who, by the time the FA Cup final replay comes along on the 29th of April, it has been a fortnight since they've played in that game against Celtic.
It's weird, isn't it? I mean, you know, Leeds forever in that period were playing so many games, and they went to the latter stages of virtually every competition they were in. They were chasing the league title. They were quite often involved in European semi-finals and finals. They'd go deep into the FA Cup. As you say, they played three replays in the semi-final, all that kind of stuff. And I suppose Revy's view was, well, the previous couple of seasons, we've lost things because we were knackered. So I'll try and give them a bit of a rest, which you can understand. But at the same time, as you say, you lose that rhythm, don't you? You know, football's a really peculiar thing. They're always either complaining that they haven't played enough games to get their rhythm, or that they've played so many games they're knackered. There never seems to be any kind of happy medium in between the two. It's always one excuse or the other. Really, and you know, you could see what Revy's doing, but it does rob him of a little bit of that fluency, doesn't it? I'm sure if he'd had his time again at the end of this game and he thought about it, he'd be thinking, well, perhaps I should have played the full team a bit more often, or at least, you know, giving some of them some more games, because it's very difficult to pick out which is the better team in the group. But I mean, Leeds have been the better team at Wembley, I think, without a doubt. Probably Chelsea shade the replay. It's not quite the same level from Leeds, and Chelsea are a bit better. And Chelsea also make a really important change. They move David Webb to centre-half, and they move the great Ron Harris to right-back, to mark Eddie Gray, literally. And that changes the game from Wembley, because Eddie Gray at Wembley was brilliant, and he doesn't have quite the same freedom with Ron Harris kicking him up in the air every 5 minutes.
They do. Yeah, it's tweaks more than anything. You know, as we've said, it's the only change in the lineups is, you know, David Harvey coming in, but it's tactical switches here and there. The Chelsea side is, you know, Peter Benetti, Ron Harris, Eddie McCready, John Hollins, John Dempsey, David Webb, Tommy Baldwin, Charlie Cook, Peter Osgood, Ian Hutchinson, Peter Houseman, and Marvin Hinton is number 12. Leeds United, David Harvey, Paul Madeley, Terry Cooper, Billy Bremner, Jack Charlton, Norman Hunter, Peter Lorimer, Alan Clark, Mick Jones, Johnny Giles, Eddie Gray with Mick Bates at number 12. Paul Reaney, he missed out on all this because of his broken leg. Chelsea do make concerted efforts to get Alan Hudson fit, but to no avail. This, going into this game, everything's pointing towards Leeds, Dave. You know, they've had this arduous season, but a lot of the mood music I always love the team lineups being named by the commentator, and all the little caveats and the little underlying stories that you get and stuff like that. And Kenneth Wilson, everything in the lilt of his voice is that this is going to be Leeds tonight. You know, they can't possibly suffer another disappointment, can they?
Well, it was what Leeds used to do in that period, so I suppose they got used to it. I mean, you know, playing at Old Trafford as well, much nearer to home than Chelsea. I mean, that you would think is in their favour. And as you say, having rested players, the conventional wisdom would be they're freshening themselves back up at this point. They're you know, in better order than they were at Wembley. They'll be better for having a few days off, and they'll come through, and they'll finally carry off the FA Cup, and that'll be justice done, sort of. But it doesn't quite go that way. Although, again, I mean, it's a game. There could easily have been a second replay. Very easily have been a second replay. And this is what you should do. You should never mind these penalties nonsense. Replay till the death. That's what you should do.
I mean, talking about a potential second replay, Dave, I mean, had there been that need for a second replay, do you know where it would have been sent to? Where was slated to be the venue for a second 1970 FA Cup replay?
Well, given the speed at which they managed to rearrange the first replay, and given that there was a World Cup on, probably in Guadalajara, I would imagine. Yeah.
Excellent. Highfield Road. Dave,
Highfield Road.
Highfield Road was slated to be the venue for the 1970 FA Cup final second replay. Interestingly, had Leeds been contesting the European Cup final, then that third game would not have taken place, and the FA would have been left with an absolute shocker of decision on all those monocles dropping into the big fishbowl brandy glasses, Dave.
It would have been like the first ever League Cup that I had to have played it at the start of the following season.
Just what would the Blazers have done, Dave? What would they have done?
Can you imagine? They'd have gone Revy and Dave Sexton to play Sabutio or something.
Yeah. Carpet bowls. Like a duel at dawn. Yeah, I can see Carry On. What was the Carry On film where Sid James is basically playing the Scarlet Pimpernel? You know, Carry On, Don't Lose Your Head. That's where, yeah, Kenneth Williams falls into kind of like the septic pit. It's going to be that type of thing. Yeah. Sir Rodney Effing, you know, and all that type of stuff. It would have been great.
I don't think Kenneth Williams or Charles Autry would have got to either of these sides, frankly.
They might have had to play in the second replay, given the violence that was on offer. As you mentioned, Dave, you know, Chelsea's game plan is to man mark any Eddie Gray, Ron Harris, is deployed there. Chelsea's last two visits to Old Trafford to face Manchester United, they've got a good record. They've picked off 2-0 and 4-0 wins on their last two visits to Old Trafford, Dave. So, geographically speaking, this is great for Leeds, but aesthetically speaking, Chelsea are walking into a ground where good things have recently happened. Chelsea are kind of 4-3-3, as are Leeds. It's a frenetic pace from the off.
It is. Peter Lorimer started at Stafford and chasing down the right, causing absolute chaos. There's a low cross, I think it's John Dempsey, but almost cannons in past Peter Benetti. And then a few moments later, Eddie Gray comes right running down the middle. He's obviously seen Ron Harris and decided he's going to go inside. And there's this crunching swing at him from David Webb. There's a free kick, and that kind of sets the tone, really, doesn't it, for the rest of the game from there, pretty much.
It does indeed. It's a satisfying scythe down, I think we'd have to say there. I wouldn't normally side with the Anglo-Saxon chopping down the artisan, but it's a work of art in this game. You can't not find some kind of joy in this. Yeah, Dempsey almost scores an unwitting own goal. Windy conditions playing the part in this one, Dave. They've got a better pitch, but the wind is causing a bit of havoc.
Yeah, better pitch and worse weather. It is sort of swirling a bit. Peter Benetti comes off his line to catch a free kick early on and doesn't look entirely comfortable with where it is that he's going, which we'll become used to in Mexico in a few weeks' time. But Kenneth Wollstone continues this Peter Benetti loving about how marvellously he's done to come and catch this routine free kick and nearly making ash. I don't know what it is with Kenneth Wollstone and Peter Benetti, but he's absolutely besotted with him.
He really is. Kenneth Wollstone does think a lot of Peter Benetti. I'm not saying that's wrong, but yeah, he's got him up there alongside Gordon Banks as being kind of like the best goalkeeper certainly in the country, Dave.
This will not last the test of time.
Give it a few weeks. I think something might go remiss in Lyon at some point. He makes a big thing over Ian Hutchinson's throw-ins as well. I mean, they do go a hell of a distance, to be fair. And the fascination is the windmill in arms, Dave. Where he does these throws, it's almost like you look like striker the game, where you press the head down on the player and he kicked the ball. This feels like there should have been an Ian Hutchinson version of that, being able to throw the ball. As well,
it's like he's dislocating his shoulders as he's taking the throw. I mean, they are extraordinary. I mean, at one point towards the end, he says, "That's not a throw in; it's a free kick." And then, to be fair, he's pretty much right.
Wrong. I mean, he is not wrong.
I don't think we saw another long. I mean, perhaps Challenger at Tranmere, but until Rory De Lapa, I think it was as deadly a throw in as Ian Hutchinson. 30-odd years, I suppose we were waiting for the next Ian Hutchinson. Who knew that we wanted one, but there we are.
These are phenomenal throw-ins. It's a relatively even start the first 10 minutes, Dave. There's a penalty shout from Peter Osgood. Maidley, clatters into thoughts.
Well, I mean, given everything else that goes on in this game, no, it's not a penalty.
It's not a penalty.
Basically, you have to take his leg off quite clearly to get a penalty.
There's one later in the game for Leeds that is far more debatable, and we'll come to that.
I think the big thing is that Peter Osgood's involved, which he wasn't at Wembley.
He
was anonymous, wasn't he? But in this, right from the outset, Peter Osgood's
He is in the thick of things in this. Benetti's forced into saves. There's one at the near post. It's the best chance so far. There's a Dempsey back pass that almost gifts Lorimer, an opportunity. Leeds, gradually increasing the pressure. Clark puts a shot narrowly wide. The sentiment in that, this has to be Leeds night is actually kind of like looking like it's coming to fruition in these stages.
Leeds look the stronger in the first half. I think I've got them on notes. The tempo was quick at Wembley, but this is incredible. The speed of this game is absolutely insane. Now, here you are. You've played your 42 league games. You've played God knows how many games to get to the cup final. You've played in Europe. You've played in the League Cup. You know, you've run through mud and rain and wind and God knows what else. And the speed at which they're playing, it's absolutely extraordinary. I mean, you know, even by comparative, you know, modern terms, this looks like a quick game, doesn't it? There's no messing about. It's a real pace, and you know, from both sides. But at this stage in the first half, Leeds are the ones that are looking like it. And you know, this game's gone down in history as the most violent game in the history of the world, and all of this sort of nonsense. And it isn't quite as bad as history makes out. I don't think. I mean, you know, Kenneth Wilson, Norman undertakes a throw in his roundy boot. That shows what reputations can do. And actually, he's right, because in history, this I think this game is based on the reputation of the teams rather than quite how bad it is. Yes, we will get to some fairly violent stuff later on. But in the first half, it's not really axes at dawn, is it? I mean, it's just a physical game.
It is. It's not the carnage that, you know, it's made out to be. I mean, given Leeds' bright start, there is almost a calamity in the Leeds defence. You know, Jack Charlton and David Harvey with a mix-up, which almost proves very, very costly. At the other end, there's a speculative ball by Madeley, and Jones jumps into Benetti. And this is quite a pivotal moment. You know, two quite pivotal moments. You've got this very near gift for Chelsea. And then at the other end, you know, Jones jumps into Benetti. No, the ball is there to challenge for, but Benetti injures his knee. And there's quite extensive treatment that goes on here, Dave. And Wolstenholme's a little bit concerned about his goalkeeping hero.
I mean, it looks like quite a nasty injury, doesn't it? I mean, there's nothing. It's just unfortunate. It's not, you know, again, it's not a foul on it or anything like that. It's just a straightforward challenge. The Chelsea fans are chanting, "We want a referee." But to be fair, you know, they don't look that much in it, to be honest. But obviously he's sort of fallen awkwardly, I suppose. And he, for a bit, it looked like he might have to come off, actually. I mean, he did look in real discomfort, didn't he? But he manages to eventually carry on. But, I mean, it's such a fascinating period piece, this whole thing. I mean, while he's getting treatment, the camera pans into the crowd and there's all these blokes on the far side and they're all there in shirt and tie, you know, like they've gone to the theatre or something. Meanwhile, the Daily Express has issued hats to both sets of supporters, which is basically a cardboard headband. I mean, it seems like a completely different world, doesn't it, somewhere?
It's kind of like, yeah, maybe like a half-time pass the parcel or something like that to be thrown into the mix, musical chairs. My notes I've written is that, you know, it's titles are keenly contested, but it's not a dirty game. You know, this, you know, is another nod towards what we were saying earlier on about it not being the carnage that, you know, that it would flare up into here and there, but it you know, that kind of like, that branding that this game gets of being kind of like, yeah, it's not the Battle of Bern, it's not the Battle of Santiago, it's not Estudiantes, it's nothing quite on those terms, but there will be some juicy stuff to come. Leeds grab the lead, they grab their opening goal eventually. You know, it's Jones, you know, a running hit, you know, he's played in by Clark, you know, they catch Chelsea on the break. As they were trying to push up to kind of protect their goalkeeper almost. 10 minutes of the first half to go, Wolstenholme muses about whether, you know, not quite fully fit Benetti would have done better had he not been injured, Dave. 1-0 to Leeds.
I mean, it's a good run from Alan Clark. I mean, he goes past, I think it's three challenges before he jabs it forward to Mick Jones. I don't think Benetti's saving that, however fit he is. I mean, it's a great hit from Mick Jones. And 1-0 at that stage, I think, is probably a fair reflection of where we are. But that goal and probably the injury to Benetti seems like the trigger point for the game. Because it's Chelsea that really start the... I mean, just after this, there's a Ron Harris tackle on Eddie Gray that's basically GBH. Then a minute later, he gets hacked down by Harris again at knee height. Then a minute after that, Ian Hutchinson goes through the back of Eddie Gray, the poor sod. I mean, that's the moment where it goes. That's sort of last 5 or 6 minutes of the first half, when Chelsea have lost their rag a little bit after going behind and seeing the goalkeeper injured. And I think the Chelsea players probably think, oh, God, he's not going to come out for the second half, or he's going to be hobbling around on one leg or whatever. That's the cup gun. And they seem to have lost their head a little bit at that stage. It calms down again a shade after the interval for a while. But no, it's a good goal, and Benetti's not stopping that, however fit he is.
That collective set of assaults on Eddie Gray, it is very much the ignition point of this. I mean, especially the one with Hutchinson on the touchline. You can see the anger, in return that Gray's kind of like thought, yeah, I'm not picking fights with the other two, but I'll stand up to Hutchinson. if I can break his arm, then at least those throw-ins will calm down a little bit. I mean, half-time, Leeds are in control, Dave.
Yeah, if he broke his arm, that would have won him the cup. That's the point. I mean, Eddie Gray, as you say, he does retaliate in the finish. But, I mean, he's had the patience of a saint at this point not to do it. And the referee hasn't booked anybody. These are different days and all of that. And I'm all in favour of it being different days, by and large. But how Ian Hutchinson has got to this stage without getting booked, and how Ron Harris got to this stage without getting booked, is beyond me. Even in 1970, I have no idea how he's managed to do that.
It is stunning. It is pretty stunning. I would say Leeds have the advantage going into the second half, but they've not put this game to bed, Dave. They've had the best of the game so far. They've got the goal. It's all set up for Leeds to roll on in the second half and get this game won, but not to be. I mean, Benetti returns with his leg strapped up to add to the aesthetics of here's this team from West London who are just manfully battling on. But I think the first big calling card is played by Ron Harris again as the second half starts. There's a challenge on Terry Cooper that, I don't know, it kind of almost detaches his hip and leaves the England left-back requiring a new set of shorts. When we say he requires a new set of shorts, that's not because Terry Cooper shit himself, but more that he has had them, let's just say, torn asunder.
Yeah, precisely. It's... how does Ron Harris not get booked for this? I mean, after all that he's done, there's three or four proper fouls from Ron Harris at this stage. Then there's a thigh-high challenge on Terry Cooper, rips his shorts, and no. It's youthful hijinks. Carry on, lads. Off we go. But then we get to what I think is the greatest moment in English football. This moment where Peter Osgood tackles Jack Charlton from behind, the fool, and Jack gets up and absolutely fans it. Everybody knows this picture, and I've got an idea. If somebody would turn that into a marble statue, a frieze of some kind, and put it in the British Museum, we could happily send the Elgin marbles back, because we would be more culturally enriched anyway. We wouldn't need the Elgin marbles anymore. Jack Charlton attacking Peter Osgood in marble.
It would be an absolute joy to see. Yeah. I mean, Osgood kind of like, manages to walk away from this or limp away from this altercation with Jack Charlton. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, even Osgood's no shrinking violet, but you've got to think that there's got to be a moment in Osgood's head that thinks, what have I just done? as Charlton spins around to dispense his own version of justice.
I mean, this was the year when Big Jack had his little black book, wasn't it? I mean, Peter Osgood would have had a chapter in that, I think, rather than just a line. That Jack Charlton would never ever forget that. Never.
It's brilliant. It is an absolute joy to see. a quiet word is had by the referee and no more. Oh, that's fantastic. Wolstenholme does, at this point, give a slight nod to the escalation of violence in the game. He declares that it's no place for boys.
And no place for the army either, really, to be fair. I mean, as we've said in the first half, it wasn't the grudge match and the mafia shootout and all that sort of stuff that it's made out. But it's getting there now.
Its flashpoints are quite excessive, shall we say. Yeah, it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. There is an opportunity, and this is the fork in the road. There's a Johnny Giles effort. Football continues amid the violence. Occasional outbreaks of football amid the violence of the second half. It deflects off Dempsey and goes just wide, Dave. This is the moment that if this is 6 inches to the left, that's going into the corner of the Chelsea net, and there's nothing that Benetti can do about it. As soon as the ball flicks off Dempsey, you think goal all the way.
Yeah, if that goes in, that's the end of the game. Because at this point, Chelsea are just completely pinned back. They can't get out of their own half, really. I mean, Leeds are really in the groove at this point. I mean, just after that, Giles puts a 20-yarder just a bit wide. And Chelsea, they look like they're on the ropes, and they're a bit slow in possession. They're not moving the ball particularly well. They're giving it away. Mick Jones has an effort. Eddie Gray puts one just over the bar. And midway through the second half, it's starting to look a bit like the Wembley game, and Leeds are completely on them. But just like the Wembley game, all of a sudden, Chelsea managed to start to come to life a little bit. And around about 65 minutes, the game just gradually starts to turn a bit.
It does. It does. Yeah, I mean, I've my notes have got at the hour mark, Chelsea are creaking, but Leeds, however, they're not really creating any compelling opportunities despite the direction of play, Dave. They're not doing enough in the Chelsea penalty area.
No, absolutely. I mean, the shots from distance, and there's half chances, but there's not that clear opportunity to put it away. And that, I suppose, to a degree, for all that Leeds had great attacking power, good strikers in Jones and Clark, that was always Leeds' problem, wasn't it? They never quite, in enough games, they never went from that 1-0 to 3-0, and they would just drop silly points, or they would get caught in replays, or they would lose a cup match because they hadn't put the game away. And they were to resolve that a little bit more, I suppose, as the 70s went on. But they couldn't quite put teams away in the way that other teams did in that period. And that cost them dear in the finish.
It did. I mean, within this, Chelsea have not had a decent chance of note until around, like you say, the 65th minute-ish. There's a Baldwin header that's saved by Harvey. A fine flick on by Osgood. And this is the first intimation that actually Chelsea aren't quite finished in this game.
Yeah, and David Harvey, to be fair to him, I mean, he looks pretty secure in goal. I mean, he's done, he's come and taken some crosses and whatnot earlier on in the game. That's his first real save that he's had to make. But Chelsea are now starting to I don't know if it's desperation or what it is, but they are starting to come back into the game a little bit. And then, miraculously, we get a booking.
We do. That's my next protocol. Shocking. I'm shocked, Dave. It's a great altercation, three-way altercation. Osgood, Bremner, which is an incensed Bremner as part of this, which is always a magnificent thing to see, because no one, it's not that, Bremner's angry. It's just that the way that he always looked angry. It's just a proper kind of like, I don't know, it's a man in the pub type of anger. And sure enough, Hutchinson's name is taken.
He comes across and poleaxes Billy Bremner. Finally, the referee's legendary patience is finally broken, and he puts Hutchinson in the book, which, as I said before, it could have been booked three times in the first half, and that would have been the end of the windmilling throws, the cup final.
It would be. Cooper has a run and shot, which is saved low by Benetti. Midway through the second half, the game's opening up a bit, Dave. There's a bit more space at both ends. This slender lead that leads, as the game starts to even up somewhat, that 1-0 lead is starting to look a little bit precarious, Dave.
Yeah, up till the hour, 1-0 looked like it was enough. And of course, Leeds, you know, for all I've said that they didn't go on and win games by three. Leeds were the experts at shutting up the shop and winning 1-0, but they're not really shutting up the shop here. They're coming forward, they're still playing, they're still looking for another goal, but they can't quite find it. And the cameras keep cutting to Dunrevy chain smoking his panatellas on the sideline. And you can see Dunrevy thinking, oh, hang on. This isn't right. Something's going to happen here. He's got his travel rug over his knees, and you can see the anxiety coming across him.
It's flooding out of him. It's flooding out of him at this point. 17 minutes to go. The camera pans to Dave Sexton. Wolstenholme muses that Sexton must realise his team are lucky to be 1-0 down. That's the goading moment. That's the stick poking Carver and the gods of football there, Dave, because within minutes you've got another save from Benetti from Cooper at the near post after a Baldwin error. Jack Charlton is the latest to be nursing an injury. They're rubbing his thigh and looking like he needs to draw Chelsea blood somewhere along the way. But then it's the big moment, Dave. It's Chelsea's equaliser is suddenly about to arise.
Whether that injury has affected Charlton or what, I don't know. But, I mean, it's his mistake, really, that creates a goal. John Hollins plays to Osgood just inside the Leeds half, and he lays it off to Hutchinson and then goes for the box. And Charlton, instead of going with Osgood, he initially starts to close down Hutchinson, obviously thinking that he's going to kick him with the knee, and then decides against it and starts to head back. But Osgood's gone by then. Osgood's in 2 or 3 yards of space, and Charlie Cook's got the ball, lofts it into the box, and there's Peter Osgood unmarked, free header past David Harvey from 12 yards out. If Charlton goes with his man, Osgood doesn't score. But Jack Charlton's gone for a bit of vengeance on Ian Hutchinson, decided against it too late. That's the mistake.
Yeah, Charlton is caught between two desires there, to shore up the defence and to cause grievous bodily harm to Hutchinson. It is an excellent move. Harris, Hollins, Baldwin, Hutchinson all involved. Cook's chip through ball. Cook's been quiet up until this point. The goal's kind of out of nowhere. But it is just 60 seconds on from Wolstenholme claiming that Sexton must realise that he's lucky to be 1-0 down. And suddenly it's 1-1 day. Leeds are kind of, from here, I think you get the feeling that they know that they need to get, if they're to win it, they need to stop it going into extra time.
If you were Leeds and you've lost the things that Leeds have lost in the previous few seasons, and you've been in front three times in this game and pegged back three times, and you're starting to think, what the bloody hell have we got to do to get to shake this lot off? What have we got to do to win this game? And you can feel a little bit of doubt creeping in the same way there was at Wembley to an extent. Chelsea are taking a bit more confidence from it, but to be fair, Leeds, keep coming. I mean, Norman Hunter gets fouled by Baldwin, and Hunter gets up and snarls at him. And then there's another glorious moment that everybody will remember. There's a cross from Terry Cooper that's half cleared. Billy Bremner comes into edit, and Eddie McCready launches this kung fu clearance that kicks him in the head, and we play on. Okay, it would have been a penalty, but we just carry on. We don't mind. And Chelsea at the other end, and Hutchinson's shooting at the side there. Billy Bremner, meanwhile, is flat out in the penalty area waiting for treatment. I don't know. Did the referee ever referee again? Was this his final game? It probably should have been. I don't know.
It is a stunning passage of play. It really, really is. My notes, McCready almost takes Bremner's head off. Play on, says the ref. Surely a penalty. No, even for that era, Dave, that is quite the nailed on penalty.
I think in the rules of association football, to an opponent's head is considered to be dangerous play, and a direct free kick shall be awarded.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, an incensed Bremner is soon getting himself involved with altercations with Hollins and Hutchinson. He's really kind of reached number 11 on the anger amp in Spinal Tap terms here. Now
it is glorious. Hutchinson fouls Bremner, then he stamps on him. Bremner gets up and goes after him. The referee brags it up, and as they're parting, Ian Hutchinson makes his yapping gesture towards Bremner, just to, you know, keep it going. I mean, I have got absolute Hutchinson, who is the one player that's been booked. How on earth is he not been sent off? It is just extraordinary, isn't it?
It really is. It's, I mean, as we were saying earlier on, you know, it being, you know, a strong and physical game without being kind of like dirty, it is the second half where it lives up to that reputation. We cannot downplay just how fractious, shall we say, that second half is. And it is just a joy, an absolute joy to me.
Yeah, precisely, it is a joy. And then, you know, I mean, David Ellery, didn't he famously re-refereed this game for Sky or wherever it was years later? And what was it he said? I think he said like 11 red cards or something. Shut up. That's all. I mean, for all that we're having a go at the referee, he's refereeing this perfectly, because this is a fantastic game.
He's just let this game rumble on and flow. It's great. Bremner, you know, the kind of properly incensed Bremner. If it was some kind of opportunity to, kind of sue someone for this, he'd surely have done this. But towards the tail end of the 90 minutes, he properly throws himself down in an attempt to win a belated penalty. 90th minute approaches. It's end-to-end. But, yeah, when Bremner tries to win himself a penalty, it's very Amdram in the way that he tries to win this penalty.
Yeah, there's the slightest suspicion of a nudge from David Webb, and Bremner is swan diving into the middle of the penalty area, desperately looking for the penalty that's never going to come. Certainly not in a game. You're not going to get a penalty.
The windy conditions of early first half must have returned at the tail end of the 90 minutes that had even and blown Bremner over. There's a shot from Gray from outside the area, which goes over the Chelsea crossbar at an injury time. Leeds break. There's a Lorimer cross, and Jones heads wide, and there within it goes Leeds' chance. It's 90 minutes are up. It's 1-1, and suddenly it's not looking like Leeds' final anymore. Very nervous. Reavie on the touchline. Everything's going against Leeds. 30 minutes of extra time. It's going to be a thankless tax. Surely for Leeds.
It is. I mean, again, I know this was the days of only one substitute. It's not like it is now. But no substitutions. 90 minutes, I mean, you know, slugging it out like mad. And neither side has made a change. I mean, you know, however good the two teams are, you'd think one, you know, fresh player coming on would do wonders, wouldn't you, for either team at this stage. But no, just keep going. Let's keep running.
None of it. None of it, indeed. As play continues, well, restarts, you've got Harvey and Osgood trading kicks. So the theme of martial arts and pugilism of the second half continues into extra time, Dave. Certainly the early exchanges. You know, Leeds are still venturing forward. There's a Lorimer shot that's straight at Benetti, but the kind of this, you just can't get. Yeah, the Jones and Clark on the ball. So, you know, there's a lot of breakdowns of build up play, and they're just not able to get that supply line through.
They haven't all the time since Benetti's been injured, apart from when Jones scored almost immediately afterwards. They haven't forced Benetti to do anything other than make a pretty straightforward save, have they? I mean, he hasn't really made a properly good save at any so. He hasn't been at full stretch, and that's the failing from Leeds, and the failing that ultimately costs them the cup, because they just can't work the goalkeeper, and they're starting to fray at the edges now. I mean, Norman Hunter goes down with cramp after, I think it's about 12 minutes of extra time, and then he gets up and falls over again, you know, and has more treatment. And if Norman Hunter's going down like that, then you can tell what sort of state the entire team's in, and at the end of the first half of extra time, it costs them.
It does. It really does. And you can tell that the Chelsea fans are starting to sense blood as well. They're becoming more and more vocal as the first half of extra time goes on. There's an opportunity for Osgood. He shoots over the bar, but, you know, linesman's flag's raised. But it's it's soon 2-1, and it's David Braddave.
It's Ian Hutchinson and his dislocated shoulders hurling the ball like a free kick into the box. And it's a shame for David Harvey because he's played really well in this game. But it's kind of his error and an error from Jack Charlton as well. That they both go to the near post and getting one another's way, really. And it skims off the top of Jack Charlton's head to the back post. And David Webb comes forcing his way in and heads in from, I don't know, 4 or 5 yards out. And that's the first time Chelsea have gone in front in the game. 16 minutes of the match left. And Leeds, you know, now what do they do from there? You know, they've given it everything. They've been in front 3 times. They can't put Chelsea down. And now they're behind. And they've got to throw caution to the wind. And they haven't got the engine to do it, basically, have they?
No, they've not. And as the cherry on the cake for the first half of extra time for Chelsea, the half-time whistle is comes shortly after Cook upending Bremner Day. It's a very apt finish to the first half of extra time there.
I mean, Bremner and Cook square up to one another. And Kenneth Wollstonecraft says, and suddenly nobody's loving anybody in this game. What's he been looking at for the previous hour? I don't know. I mean, there's been precious brotherly love
there has been very, 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 very little brotherly love into the second half of extra time. Chelsea fans break out into a chorus of "You'll Never Walk Alone." They will be outed for this type of thing. All sports across the 1970s. A feature that does crop up on another podcast that me and Dave are involved in over at Your Boys Talk Hell of a Beating. It's always a strange, surreal thing to hear "You'll Never Walk Alone" being sung in a Cockney accent, Dave.
Very, very definitely. But as you say, it was a regular feature from pretty well any team that was winning back in the 1970s. They were all dishing it out with scarves aloft at the same time. So it was a feature of the game, and so was the Blade and Roses. We're digressing here. Lots of teams used to sing the Blade and Roses. I have no idea why.
Why would you do? Why would you do? You know, support your local horse track. That's what I say. Into the second half of extra time. Continuing into the second half of extra time. There is a third Chelsea goal, Dave, but it's disallowed. Hutchinson, rightly disallowed.
Again, Kenneth Wilson is adamant that it's offside by a mile. Ian Hutchinson, he can't expect to get a goal for that. He does look a little bit offside, to be fair.
He does.
There is no VAR. So.
No, there isn't. These last 15 minutes are, you know, fatigue. Completely understandable. Chelsea do throw on a substitute. Hinton's on for Osgood. Osgood has run himself into the ground. He's got the equaliser, but Hinton comes on in place of him. There's Gray. He's flicked on. You know, there's a clearance by McCready. You know, it's all very desperate. You know, and Gray again. He skies a late opportunity, but it's very tired at this point. And you know, the second half of extra time, it kind of just meanders. It does peter out somewhat.
Yeah, I mean, Leeds have just... You can see that Leeds have come to the realisation that, Christ, this isn't our year again. You know, they've come close in everything and they're going to go away with nothing at the end of the season. And you can just see that sort of slump of the shoulders. And, well, we've got to go through the motions here. We've got to try and do something. I mean, Jack Charlton goes up to centre forward, you know, for the last sort of 10 minutes to try and make something happen. But it's... more in hope than expectation. It's just, they can see it's not going to happen for them. And it's a shame, really, because, you know, I mean, much as Chelsea have done really well to win the Cup, I mean, it's one of those years when they both should have won the Cup. You know, it should have been like a charity shield and they both had it for 6 months or something. It's, you've got to feel sorry for Leeds not, you know, coming up short in the end. But, I mean, it's a glorious win for Chelsea.
It is. It really, really is. It's Chelsea's Cup. Without a shadow of a doubt. Leeds players so incensed that they make for the dressing room, they won't go and collect their runners-up medals. It's rancor, Dave. It all ends in a bit of rancor.
That is archetypal Leeds, isn't it, from that period? No, bugger this. We're not going to go and get them. Sorry, you can stick your medals.
It's a glorious footnote to a magnificent night of football.
You wouldn't want to give it away, frankly.
You wouldn't. It just wouldn't be right. On the very same night, Dave, over in Vienna, Manchester City are busy beating Górnik Zabrze in the European Cup Winners Cup final. The BBC wanted to show this game, and the FA said no. They were going to throw it on BBC Two. Barry Davis was sent over. So highlights were shown later on. But yeah, the Cup Winners Cup final. We do get a couple of updates from kind of false known as it goes along. Manchester City, you know, they've 2-1 win in the end. You know, it's the opening goal from Neil Young. Francis Lee adds a penalty 2 minutes before half time, before Zabrza get one back. 68th minute. It's a hell of a night for Manchester, really, hosting this FA Cup semi final, FA Cup final replay, while one of their own teams is off to Vienna to win the Cup Winners Cup. And there you've got kind of like a municipal city that can't watch one of their own lifting a trophy, but they can watch a team from Yorkshire and a team from London literally fight it out for the FA Cup.
They're very different in the world, isn't there? There's no red button or watch it on the iPlayer or the BBC website, is there, like you can now? It just seems so weird, doesn't it, that every game isn't on live. It was just such a joy back then to see a game football live, isn't it? Yeah. I remember that, what was I then, six, just before my sixth birthday. So I was staying up late at the age of 5 and 11 months to see this cup final going on to like 9:30 or something. It's just, there couldn't be anything more exciting at that age, you know, to see a live game of football and you get another half hour of it. This is fantastic. This is, you know, every dream come true. It's, I don't know. It's a great thing that you can watch all these games nowadays, but the saturation as opposed to the scarcity, it does rob it of occasion, doesn't it? It doesn't feel the same, however good the game is.
Yeah, it absolutely does. It's, but 1970. You know, it took a bit of time to iron itself out, but it's Chelsea's cup, Dave. Moving onwards, you know, the Chelsea will go on and, like Manchester City, go on and lift the Cup Winners' Cup 12 months later. Yet, you know, they will not return to an FA Cup final again for another 24 years, during which time, a span of time in which, what, there are 1, 2, 3 relegations to the second division. There's tumultuousness to come, electric fences, Captain Birdseye. There's all sorts of stuff to go on. Big stands crippling the club and stuff like that. But walking away from a cup final like this, you always think, what path are you going to go down? And for Chelsea, there's still glory to come, but there's chaos looming on the horizon.
Yes, it's Crystal Palace, the team of the 80s. Chelsea were going to be the team of the 70s at one point, weren't they? I mean, there was a lot of talent in that team, but it was just too volatile, wasn't it? There was always that, you know, even when Tommy Doherty was there before, and, you know, there were players sent down from that cup tie, Blackpool and all that kind of stuff. It was always on a knife edge at Chelsea, wasn't it? You know, the showbiz thing alongside the football. And it was always ready to come off the rails, which ultimately did in all kinds of ways at Chelsea. But yeah, you looked at that team and you thought, well, Peter Osgood will be there in 1980. He'll still be there. Alan Hudson will still be there in 1980. You know, it'll be this Chelsea team will go on for ages. There'll be no problems at all. They're going to be a dominant force. And really, as you say, okay, they went on and won the Cup Winners' Cup and they got to the League Cup final in 72. But this was it. This was the end of Chelsea, really, at that point as a major force, which is incredible when you look at the side that they've got.
Yeah, they burn brightly but briefly. Within that, it's quite fascinating because you look at the league champions that season, Everton, and there's another team that look set for, you know, success for years to come. You know, a fine, fine team, packed with talent, you know, very balanced. Yet, you know, both of them, Everton and Chelsea, will limp on rather than cruise on. Leeds United will go on to reach another two FA Cup finals, which will be coming up before too long. So, you know, it isn't the last we've seen of Leeds for the decade. Dave, the 1970 FA Cup final replay. Give me your go-to image.
It's Big Jack flattening Peter Osgood, obviously. I mean, that's hang that in the Louvre, as Jack Grealish would tell you. What's yours? It's got to be the same, surely.
It's got to be. It's got to be. It's definitely Jack Charlton versus Peter Osgood. without a shadow of a doubt, one of the finest moments in football history. Dave, onwards we move. The 1972 FA Cup final next. Go on, then. Are you sure? We need to do 71?
I would do after the 71, just for historical completeness.
Go on. We'll do 71 then. You've twisted me up.
Well, there are interesting lessons to be learned from 71.
All tongue in cheek aside, yeah, it's a vital one to do for me, because it's going to be good in terms of research for a trilogy of books I have agreed to write about Liverpool Football Club across the 1960s, 70s and 80s. So, yeah, it is a game that is unavoidable for me to watch at some point. So, yeah, might as well utilise it to podcast purposes as well. We will be returning very soon with the 1971 final. Charlie George and all of that will be coming up very soon. All that leaves me to do is say thank you for listening. Please do join us again for 71, a better pitch. Certainly a soft pitch, but it looks lush. It doesn't have any visible sand on it, and it is a blisteringly hot day as well. That's one of the big, very vivid looking cup finals as well, Dave. The red versus the yellow. It's going to be a cup final that is absolutely made for colour television.
It is, absolutely. It's one of the great iconic images of cup finals still to this day, isn't it? With Charlie George at the end. So we'll look forward to that. There's lots of good stories as well in the run up to that game, particularly from the Arsenal side. So we shall look forward to that one.
Excellent, excellent. Please do join us for that, though. 1971 FA Cup final coming up very soon. All that leaves me to do is say thank you and goodbye.
Many thanks for joining us today on The Lob, a These Football Times production. For more of our content, check out our award-winning print magazine featuring some of the game's foremost writers, artists and photographers, exploring areas of the game rarely covered in high-end print. For now, we look forward to you joining us again soon.